Oh, he ain't doing good in Beto. Da 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 da.
First of all, yes, he was.
They want to see, you know, they go. They yes, want to see was. The. They want to see the.
But the game ain't like that no more. You're not going to. You ain't getting
especially
drafted.
The college game, bro.
You're not getting drafted high because you out there in the NCAA scoring 20 points per game.
You see what I'm saying?
You're getting drafted high based on the potential of what you could do next.
Listen to me. I telling these dudes that. I like, bro. BJ coming for y'all.
They don't know ball. They don't know ball.
We sitting. So now, fast forward to almost where the draft time is. I lie. BJ ready to get drafted. I say, BJ, get in rookie of the year.
And he should. Anyway.
Listen, I say VJ Green rookie of the year. This big Chris, it was, I sitting here, right here, and Chris over there. Once Chris right up, I look at him, I say, bro, I'm sure why, bro. Talking to you like this. He said, what is why? Bro?
Yeah, he didn't know. You always remember
said,
your audience.
He said, what is why?
You just got to explain the whole thing again.
Yeah, and I said, but let me show you something, bro. I say, DJ Green rookie of the year, bro. Oh, his game don't translate.
Oh my god.
His game don't translate.
Please tell me. Please tell me what
I
they
say,
said.
I bet you a yard. He said, what is a yard? I say $100.
Please tell me what they said night one.
I said, I bet you a yard. This Blake Green rookie of the year.
Okay, you're gonna lose the $100, but that's fine. But you shouldn't.
Wait. I say, I bet you y'all just bigger than KDL. Bro. Oh, this game don't translate. Da, 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 da. A booger, 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 ray, ray, ray.
Those are not the words that they said. But how did they figure that his game wasn't going to translate?
Listen, anyway, man. Go ahead.
The funny thing is they compare him to Victor Oladipo
and D-Wade. Okay, then. So D-Wade wasn't saying much. He said he like his game. He's a young dude. Whatever. That's what D-Wade was saying. He also didn't agree with me with
rookie of the year?
Okay. He didn't agree with that part.
I understand that from
but
their
they
perspective.
But they could give him the cool book because
the people see you mouthing white boy. I could understand them saying that from their perspective because to win rookie of the year, you got to be able to put up numbers. And VJ was walking into a situation where you were going with three already established
stars. Bay is a dog.
No, but I get that. No, I'm just saying I understand where they're coming from. Now, to me, winning rookie of the year and who's going to be the best player in the class, two different arguments.
Let me tell you something about Bohemians, right? Let me tell you something about us. When we see something in sight, backtrack. Junior chef of the year, 2011. National Culinary Team, Bahamas.
That was you?
Come on, man.
Oh, okay.
Gold medal.
I thought it was someone else.
No.
And they didn't even put you on the Walk of Fame. Celebrity artist ever do a portrait of you? Put
no,
it on the Walk of Fame?
Make it happen.
He should. You win a gold medal.
I win multiple gold medals.
What's the difference between you and Shawnee?
Differences. She get endorsements.
There's tons of differences. I immediately regretted it the minute I said it. There's so many differences.
But I represent the Bahamas multiple times.
You did? Even in arguments with D-Wade and Chris Johnson?
I'm trying to tell you. But boy.
We ain't gonna get to the other ones. Yeah, we can leave them. We can leave them.
Let's talk about VJ. Let's just
we stay in there. We can leave them.
Let's talk about VJ.
It's the playoffs right now.
Yeah. Shoot, we can leave that alone. We can leave that alone right now. But anyway, let's go to VJ. So VJ, I say, boy, show him what? This big room, yeah, so Chris like, da-da-da-da, whatever. When VJ starts scoring, first night, 30-something, boom.
34 out the gate. Set a first record night. For most points in his NBA debut.
Minus
ever.
Will Chamberlain, who nobody ever saw. Yeah. Right? First night, out the gate, boom. I say, wait. You see I go? It's a good night.
It was a good night.
I say, he averaging 40.
Oh, God. This is the most Bahamian thing ever. John does this a lot, too.
I say, he averaging 40.
You and John are just alike because we be given projections for games and John is telling me stuff like, buddy, you can score 50. And I'm like,
bro, I say DJ averaging 40.
Third or fourth option based on the night that the Sixers are having. Just say,
give him the ball, take it out of Maxi hands, and run the show. Did you see? Did you see Dwayne Wade? Let me ask you a question. Hold on. Did you see D Wade rookie year versus the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy said, "Give him the ball. Get out the way."
This how you know. This how you know Brad ain't a coach.
Huh?
He said this how you know that you're not a coach. You see him take the ball. I love VJ. I don't believe we take the ball out of Tyrese Maxey's hand.
I'm not saying let him pass it to VJ, you know. Let him pass it to VJ. Take it out his hand.
Okay.
Let him pass it to VJ.
No, I understand. Listen, in these arguments with these people.
It's going to be, the defense is going to gravitate towards Maxey.
Okay. Okay? All right.
Maxey driving.
We understand how basketball works.
Maxey driving. VJ coming off the wing. Little shovel pass. Don't. Hands off. He ain't went off.
I can't believe you ain't a coach. You really missing your calling by staying in the kitchen so long. It's this simple.
Boom, bam, bam.
Basketball.
What's the problem? What are we talking about here, bro?
Terrence.
What are we talking about here, bro? Give me the ball, mate.
He's giving him the ball. He's going to be the best player in this class. For as long as you are in that house, you get to say, "I told you so," many times.
Yeah, but and every time I see Chris, I just let him know.
So we got, like me and John was talking about, we have a big summer of Bahamas basketball coming up. This is what I need you to be.
Tell me.
I need you to actually prepare your takes and prepare your arguments, because you have to basically be the conduit for all the Bahamas basketball arguments for the country when you're talking to D-Wade them. So that's what I need you to do. When we had this run at the Olympics where we was like 8 points short of getting in the Olympics.
Bro, and you should have seen the Olympics. Caveat.
Go.
During the Olympic run, I told D-Wade, I said it could be the Bahamas versus the U.S.
Oh, jeez. USB at a 10. I just want you to dial it back to like maybe a 5 or 6.
What Jazz say? Jazz say you're in 50 for 50, bro. If you shoot for the moon, you can land on. If you shoot for the stars, you can shoot. Hold on. We had a prime minister. His name was Dr. Hubert Minnis. I'll never forget what he said. He said, the people say, how much seats you going to win? Hubert Minnis says, he's going to win all of them.
He did not.
Hold on.
Okay.
He said, if I am in a race fighting to win, why would I ever sell myself short? When he said that, I'm not a big F&M guy. I'm not going to tell you who I am.
I know who you are.
I'm not a big F&M guy.
You're not any of them.
Exactly. I don't vote for none of them.
I'm not a big F&M guy. You didn't even need to say that.
Right? But when Hubert Minnis said that,
that spoke to you.
Bro,
you were inspired.
Bro, this dude said, if I'm in a race vying to win, why am I going to say I'm going to lose seats?
You know what's crazy? And this, we probably actually made history right now, because I think you are, and I say this full disclosure, I mean everything I say, I feel like you are the first person to ever be inspired by the words of Dr. Hubert Minnis.
Bro, people, my daddy used to tell me when I was
this
young.
Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
AP News for Friday, June 26th. I'm Ben Thomas. Venezuelans have been taking the search for missing loved ones into their own hands following Wednesday's devastating back-to-back earthquakes. Hi, Panjwani has a report.
Citizens dug through the rubble of their homes and said they have seen few state rescue teams in the areas hit hardest by the devastating 7.2 and 7.5 magnitude quakes Wednesday. Omar Reis lost family in the quakes. More than 20 of my relatives have died here. And in the Caribbean area in Tanaguarena, I've been left practically alone in this world. I'm Haya Panjwani.
As of Friday, at least 920 people were confirmed dead, while more than 51,000 were counted as missing. In the Iran war, more strikes. U.S. Central Command says it targeted missile and drone locations and coastal radar sites in Iran. Sagar Meghani reports it was triggered by an incident Thursday.
The president says Tehran fired four drones at a cargo vessel in the Strait of Hormuz.
We knocked down three of them. One of them, we didn't miss it. Nobody saw it coming.
The drone caused damage, but the ship was able to proceed.
You can't do that stuff.
The attack happened as a UN agency was starting an operation to move stranded ships out of the strait through an alternate route. It says evacuations will not resume without guarantees other ships won't be attacked. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Israel and Lebanon signed a framework agreement with the U.S. described as a first step toward peace, but it does not involve Hezbollah, prompting one of the militant group's officials to warn of civil war. President Trump's threatening a 100% tariffs on imports from any country that imposes a tax on digital services provided by U.S. companies. And OpenAI and Anthropic are limiting the release of new AI models during a Trump administration cybersecurity review. This is AP News. A big birthday.
It's 100 for the man who played the 2,000-year-old man.
I'll be 2,000 October 16th.
In the documentary Mel Brooks, the 99-year-old man, Brooks said he was born to make people laugh.
Work.
His movies are classics like Young Frankenstein.
My name is Frankenstein!
There's The Producers, Blazing Saddles, and Spaceballs, to name a few.
Don't just do a 9-to-5 dreadful job just to pay the rent. Starve, but love what you're doing. Then you'll live a long time.
He rode a blazing saddle.
The American Film Institute just named Brooks's Blazing Saddles the funniest film of all time. I'm Ed Donahue.
The latest through the weekend at APnews.com. I'm Ben Thomas. Thanks for listening.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh, what's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Pleasant good afternoon. That's right, this is me, and I am live. Live and ready for y'all today. Yay. Brittany asked me how come I have all this energy today. Why I'm so happy to be inside here. Child, I was outside in the heat. I happy to be in AC. I just saying. But I am here today. As you know, I wasn't in last week, but I'm here today, and that's the most important thing. So, guys, we're continuing on, of course, with the whole father, yeah, roll your eyes, whatever it is. But today is a really, really good show. With me today is Paradise Abaco on. Big Mo.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, oh, sorry. You hear that little piece? Okay, yes. Before I get into it, all kind of things happened in the country this last week, this last month, all kind of things. Things that I don't even want to think about. Just so depressing, very depressing. Some of the things, oh my God. Whoo, from the 91-year-old, gas gone, all kind of things happen. But I'm not even going to touch those things today. Today, guys, as promised, at least a few weeks ago, I said that I was going to bring in someone to talk about the legal aspect of fathers in this country and what rights that the fathers have. And let me tell you something, guys, in preparation for today's show, it actually, even though I'm in a good mood today, I'm very energized today, but in preparation for today's show, it was very, very sad. It was heartbreaking. And some of the things that I heard today almost brought me to tears. And I can tell you, like, in the 20 plus years that I've been a professional counselor, life coach, honestly, I think maybe one time I had a little meltdown. I had a little crying session when someone was sharing something with me. But in preparation for today's show, speaking to the men, the fathers, it was heartbreaking. It was very heartbreaking to hear that some men, some fathers in this country, I still feel a way. I listen, my voice, if you could hear it, right now I still feel little crybaby-ish right now because there are fathers here who have not seen their children in years. Oh my God, it's just an awful thing in years. So today, I'm not talking to the fathers who are not present by choice in their children's lives. I'm not talking to you guys. Y'all, let's have movies going on y'all here sometime. And anyhow, I am talking to the fathers who want to be fathers. The fathers who want to show up. The fathers who want to provide. The fathers who want to nurture. The fathers who want to be present in their child's or children's lives. And the mothers are keeping them away. It's such a sad thing. As a mother, I can't even imagine, like, why would they do that? Why would you do that? I mean, I know why, but why wouldn't you? Now, you know, Stanley is a very, you know, I'm a very open-minded person. But I believe in foundational stuff. I believe that the true purpose, or, you know, it was the man and the woman, the father, the mother. Because there's some things that children have to get from both people. Why would you keep the fathers away? Fathers are so important. Why would you keep away someone who loves your child? The more love that a child receives, the healthier they will be as a child and as an adult. What are you teaching your children? What are you now creating? In many cases, we, the mothers, have created angry children. We, the mothers, yes, us. Now, you know, I'll tap up. I could tap up the fellas and all this stuff. But today, and I'm not even, but I could tap you up a little bit. And here, yes, but you got to own your stuff. Today, hopefully, this is a sign. Because if you're going through something right now with the father of your child, this is a sign. This is it today for you to get over it. Because it's not about you. It's not about you. Your children are hurting. Your children need their father. And in many cases, women are upset just because the men have moved on. And this is a sad state of affairs. Not good. And I could tell you right now, you, in many cases, not all the time, but in the majority of cases, you could tell people who grew up without a father. You could tell the fatherless daughters and the fatherless sons. You could tell. Lord of mercy. Anyhow, we have in studio, we have a guest. We have a lawyer. I'm excited about the lawyer who's coming on. He's going to share what he sees, and he's definitely going to walk the men. Mind stem fathers is all about y'all today. He's going to walk you through the things that you need to know before you actually, you know, go to court. We're going to talk about the rights of the fathers today, the rights of the married, the fathers who are married to the women, the rights of the men who were not married. This whole court system, this whole legal situation, it's been in place and we haven't done anything to change anything, even though we know the truth. We know that sometimes these things are, you know, way off and outdated. We're going to also talk a little bit about how to navigate co-parenting because we're not doing a good job. We ain't doing a good job at this at all. So we're going to walk you through some of the things and what that looks like. I think actually my guest is already in studio. I think he's downstairs. Brittany went to get him. But Johnny.
Hey, what's up?
Now, I know you have a group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, women and men send in letters, questions.
Right.
What have you seen? Like, what are some of the things that you've seen, like, with the men who want to be a part of their children's lives?
What I've seen, and I don't think we push this issue, but I've found that a lot lot of fathers who are taking care of kids. I mean, that may be off topic, but I have a lot of fathers taking care of kids, only to find out years later the child is not their own, and sometimes they have no recourse in the courts. I heard about that one case, but typically there's no recourse for the fathers who take care of kids, no DNA or whatever.
Okay.
That's one. And lastly, what do you do as a stepfather when you take care of a kid and you all break up and you can't visit the child no more? What does a stepfather have in that case?
Okay, and what about? Well, okay, I'm writing these down because I'm gonna ask the guest when he comes up. I have a few, but okay, what about the fathers who actually, like, what have you seen? What's the one thing that seems to keep showing up when men write in and ask and talk about this whole father journey, and they trying to see their children, and what are they faced with?
They tell me it seems that, at least in the Bahamas, the courts seem to be against them. Even if they get a court order saying that they should see their child, there's no enforcement. So you would have a mother who deliberately alienate their kids from them, and they, you know, they plead, they give the money, and depends on how she feels or how she feels today, she wouldn't let them see the child. Right. And when they do go to the courts, and even if they get a court order, sometimes it feels like there's no enforcement because they don't take fathers, it appears they don't take fathers seriously in the Bahamas.
Wow. Okay. So you're saying that there are fathers who say that they went to court, they won custody, or they have some visitation rights,
right,
or whatever it is, and then it's not being enforced. So when they go back, so it's no follow through. There's no consequence. Nothing. Pretty much that's it.
Right. For the
fathers.
For men.
For men.
Probably.
Okay. Okay.
And anything it's frustrating. Else? And you only, my last point, and you, seems that the only person who gets highlighted is the deadbeat father. You rarely hear about the good fathers in the Bahamas.
Right. Well, see, that's why I say, I'm not talking to that group. I'm talking to men who would like to be present in their children's lives. That is who I am talking to. This show is for you. This is your free consultation today. See? My guess, he's shaking his head, he's saying, yes, this is your free consultation. Because a lot of people, and let me say this too, before I introduce my guest, I had persons who like I said, in researching it, who I spoke to, and I asked, I said, hey, do you want to call in? And they was like, no. I said, okay, do you mind if I play these voice notes? Oh, Sandy, no. I said, what about if I change your voice? They say, Stania, no. I mean, literally, the mothers even have them. They got the men dead scared. They have the men by the testicles.
They can, there's a controlling mechanism.
I'm telling you, they say, no, Stania, because then you don't never want me to see them, eh? This is scary.
Yeah, they control. But my last point, then I can let the guest talk. My last point is...
Oh, because you know that, this is your show.
It seems that the person who gets to see the child is the child, the father who don't check, or the deadbeat child. The mothers always give them full access, and they don't take it. But it seems like the good fathers who want to participate, they always seem like they have a hard time. That's my two cents.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen. My guest is in studio today. Yay, 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 yay. I tell you, I'm in a good mood. I was in the hot sun. I feel dead good. I in AC. Nah, I'm ready for y'all. Okay. Now, we're going to take a quick break. Then when we come back, we're going to talk about, like, what could the good father do to have visitation rights? You see how Britney is doing me and got this music playing? But this is doing me dead body. Yeah? But we're going to talk about what's on the books. How can they maneuver, and what do they need to know before seeking custody? We'll be right back.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
We are back, and in studio today, my special guest is Renard Eric Henfield. So I want to officially welcome you. This is the first time you've been on Tell It to Stania.
It is, you know. Thank you so much for having me today.
Okay. Yeah, and now listen, he was supposed to come last week. Unfortunately, because, you know, I want him here, but fortunately, you told me straight up you had things to do. What you had to do last week?
I had to take my daughter someplace. I'm a daddy, you know. I'm a girl dad.
Exactly.
So the world stops.
So what does that mean for you, though, to be a father?
Oh, my God. I'm 46 now.
Right.
And as with everybody listening to the sound of my voice, there was a point in time when we were children and we dreamed of how our life would be when we become adults.
Right.
And then life happens and you go through all these hurdles and these ups and downs and you meet people, your heart's broken, you get jobs, you get fired, you buy cars, they get mashed up, all these ups and downs. And there's one thing that is the height of all of our lives is when we have children.
Yes, yes.
There's nothing better.
Listen.
Nothing better.
My daughter tells me all the time, because this is my one line. Out of all the things I have ever done, what I am most proud of is being a mother to my daughter.
Yes, it is.
Manny, she's telling me, Mommy, could you please stop saying that?
No. You arrived.
Yes.
When you became a parent.
Yes.
I arrived. And when people ask me for a bio to introduce myself, I said, could you just put, our next speaker is Rianne and Raina's father.
Yes.
Because nothing else matters to me.
And by the way, when you go to school, you don't have a name. Your name.
I name Rianne Daddy.
That's
and
right.
Raina Daddy. That's who
exactly.
I am. I arrive. I'm
yes.
a parent. I'm a daddy.
I am a daddy.
Right? You pronounced that right. Daddy. I said daddy.
That's right. Right. Hello. Hello. I know, because these shorts you got on, you look like a daddy today.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
okay.
My dad bought.
But being a father to you means so much.
It does. You know, it is an opportunity to share values
right.
with someone that I've brought into this world. It's the privilege to protect them,
right.
to provide for them. And providing for them is not just financial.
Right.
It is emotionally, mentally, socially, spiritually. I get to imprint and guide a whole human being
yes.
on how to live life, street
yes.
smart, how to deal with friends, how to deal with business, how to deal with neighbors, how to handle life's obstacles. I get the opportunity and the blessing to do that.
Right.
So being a dad isn't just simply saying, oh, I have a child.
Right.
I beat this thing up in the bedroom 9 months ago and now
right.
she have a child for me. No, it is that opportunity and privilege to be involved and imprint on a child, a life to help them grow and become the best that they can be.
So what do you think you pour into your children? Now, and I know your wife is amazing, but what do daddies pour in to children that the mothers don't? And like I said earlier in the show, I firmly believe that, okay, you know, this is a blueprint. We needed both, because
yeah, sure
what you have, I may not have. What
sure
I
do.
Have, you may not have. So what do you think, like, you pour in as a father?
We sure do. And for me, just off the top of my head, I only can speak for me personally. I think I bring a sense and place in my children's lives of thinking ahead.
Okay.
I bring a sense of calmness mm-hmm. in your reactions.
Right.
I bring this purpose of God in everything you do.
Okay.
From morning throughout the day to night, how to interact with people, how to handle everything that life throws at you,
right.
how to present yourself, knowing that no profession you will ever have in life will make you. It will be how you treat people.
Okay.
So those things.
Now, you know, in a previous conversation, and I know this has nothing to do with the, you know, with the rights of fathers, and definitely we're going to go there today, but you shared with me when you said you, before you became a father to daughters, mm-hmm. you said that you didn't, you mm-hmm. never saw it as a man's world. Mm-mm. And then when you you got your daughters, mm-hmm. it was eye-opening for you.
There is a boys' club that I, you know, like I'm proud that I'm 46.
Right.
But I didn't have my first child until I was about 32.
Okay.
Prior to that, there's nobody that could have told me this was a boys' club or a man's world.
Right.
I thought it was level playing field, you know.
Really?
And then when my wife has a child and I have to realize how difficult it is for women.
Right.
Like, why does this world and the procedures and the processes and business being so difficult to my wife's when pregnant, she having a child,
right.
we have a child. When my daughters come around, why do they have to go through all these hoops and go be treated this
yeah.
way? They're my children. It's only then I realize, holy crap, I've got some stuff to speak up on and address.
Yeah,
I got daughters now.
Yes, yes. It's a whole different world out there.
It is.
Okay. Sorry. Well, and the thing about it, I feel like definitely as a father, fathers are there to protect mm-hmm. the children, like mm-hmm. protection. And I know you shared like in different areas, mm-hmm. whether or not it is showing the boys how to be manly mm-hmm. and masculine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before on the break, we talked about, you know, you saying, oh, you know, the men before us didn't this, the toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Like what was that? When I said, I talk
yes.
to you no more because
oh,
you
man.
Were sharing
Listen,
good stuff.
So y'all hear me say this a million times today. I am 46. I grew up on East Street and Wolf Road proudly. And I grew up in an era in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, which I thought would have stopped by 2003, but continues to this day. Toxic masculinity, where we got to be bad.
Right.
We got to be aggressive. Nobody can say anything to us. We can fly in your face. We're ready to fight. We got to threaten to kill and to hurt people. And boy, let me go get my this and that. But that same personality.
Right.
It's who we have around our kids,
yes.
who we have around the women in our lives, that
yes.
toxic masculinity. And you are always angry, always
yeah.
impatient. We weren't raised to have emotions.
Right.
You know, the only emotion you can have is anger.
Right.
We weren't raised to hug and kiss and say, I love you, and to play with our kids in their hair and rub their feet and tell them how proud we are, how much we love them. We weren't raised that way. But fortunately, in the last decade or two, there are so many of us that know better,
mm-hmm.
so we are doing better.
Yes.
So you have a generation of men in this country who have been raised with toxic masculinity.
Right.
Then you have those of us who know better and want to do better. And unfortunately, there's some in the middle who know better, but it's like, but that's how it's always been.
Right.
My daddy have 15 children and he ain't take care of none. Under 14 or 15 of their women
right.
made it happen. So I don't see why these three gals running behind me, you know.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, and you know what, let me just say thank you to the man in my life who has been a great male role model to my daughter, who has been very gentle with her
mm-hmm.
and protected her and showed her the way that positive masculinity
yes.
looks like. Hey, Mr. Craig.
Yes.
Hey, God, brother Ron. Hey, Uncle Harvey. Hey, my daddy. My daddy said, I mustn't call his name on the air, so I ain't calling his name.
That is a daddy's girl. Call daddy name, yeah?
Stan Davis.
Sorry.
and my other daddy, Dennis Marshall, hello.
Mm-hmm.
All of them who are gentle and who guide and mentor her and provide and protect. So I am definitely thankful
yes.
that she isn't a bitter girl, that she knows what it looks like and what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this, my daughter she's in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I could do a hip ring right now because I threw in last night. Mother's Day come, Mr. Henfield, I listen, my daughter didn't come home for summer because she went to language school to learn French.
Oh, nice.
Right. But I threw every low blow at my daughter. I was like, you ain't coming. I could be by myself for Mother's Day. You know, my mommy ain't here. No, I'm not. So Mother's Day came.
No, that's low.
I telling you, dead low. I so low. And you know, low. I done 6'10".
That's low.
So she sent me this little letter. Oh, pretty much a letter. It was telling me, it was supposed to be a happy Mother's Day letter, but it was telling me I need to get a life. Let's roll around now. Father's Day. Let's go to Father's Day. This gal send me money. We don't even bank in the same banking institute. She sent it to one of my friends.
Oh, wow.
And told me that I must go and get these gifts for her grandfathers.
I'm
telling you. Yes.
Mother's Day, you know.
Right, gone.
You can send money for, we gotta talk. We gotta talk.
I'm telling you.
We gotta talk.
But fathers, I mean, and whether or not, and I'll say this too, sometimes you may not have the father that you want, but God always provides a great substitution.
So true.
I'm telling you, sometimes you just gotta open up your eye and look. But okay, now let me go ahead too. If you want to be a part of this conversation, send me a text message. You know, I don't like when people call right away because I like to get. I want to hear the life teachers. I want to hear what they have to say. But if you want to send me a text message, 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Someone has already asked who's my guest. He is attorney Renard Henfield. That's who it is. So I got your message. They're asking me who's in studio with me. Okay, so being a father for you is a big deal.
It is.
Now, as a lawyer, how do you even navigate having cases where when mothers come in or women come in and they, you know, they don't want the dad to have anything to do with the children? Like, how do you even navigate that too?
Well, one of the good things about being a family law attorney is family law is not an area for everybody. This is one of those areas. One, it's a thankless arena.
Right.
Two, there is probably the least amount of money you will make as an attorney.
And I done hear you affordable. Yeah. That's the word on the street.
Yeah. But, you know, it is probably one of the most fulfilling areas of the law for an attorney. Simply being because we come to that arena knowing this is not an arena. Everything else for us is adversarial. Criminal law,
right.
Civil law, banking law, that's adversarial. But for us in family law, the public come to us thinking they're going to an arena to fight. It's going to be a war.
Wow.
But for us as lawyers and the judges, we know this is a place to bring people together for shared understanding and to help them refocus. Because the man to my left and the woman to my right are coming here to fight for their rights.
Right.
And we have to remind them, ain't nobody care but you and her and your rights. There's a child who did not ask to be here.
Right.
And for everyone listening, if you go right now to Laws of the Bahamas, the act we're going to talk about today is called the Child Protection Act.
Okay.
The act isn't named the Single Mothers Act, the Married Women Going Through a Divorce Act,
right.
The Single Fathers Act, the Man Who Wouldn't Be Involved in His Child Act. It is called the Child Protection Act.
Child Protection.
That's our only focus, to protect this child. And sometimes we need to protect the child from the father or the mother or both of you or the grandmother, the uncle, the aunt, the friends. So the whole focus for us in the family arena is protecting this child.
You know, something? I've never, ever heard someone say this or even myself, like, look at it. Like, every time when I think about someone going to court for custody, like, yeah, this the battle. It's on now. But you said that, no, this is us coming together.
Right.
Never thought about it that way.
As a matter of fact, the Act at Section 3 reminds us by statute that the court's primary focus is the welfare of the child.
But Mr. Henfield, does that always, like, okay, for example, and I know we're going to go deeper into it. I had so many guys, like this one was like a huge one. It kept coming up when I spoke to persons. So, for example, they said, how can a mother, or what can be done when a mother takes a child to Canada or wherever it is without the consent of the father? Is this a legal thing that she can do?
That happens every single month in this country.
Yes, I didn't know that.
That's a single mother. But if it's a married woman, she just kidnapped that child. So there's a difference. So when we talk today, we're going to talk about two different scenarios. We're going to talk about the world of single parents and the world of married people.
Which one are we doing first?
Let's deal with the single parent.
Okay, let's go.
According to the Child Protection Act, a mother that has a child out of wedlock has full rights and control over that child. She's not married.
But why?
That is just how the law... I'm going to say it this way, exactly as it is. That is how the law has been from time immemorial. I'm of the view that that law needs to change, because the moment I contribute my sperm to this egg environment,
right,
we become jointly owners of this child, jointly responsible for this child.
Mm-hmm.
But the law has, which was designed by men, not by women, for hundreds of years, men and women were of the view back in those days that the women were the nurturing ones, the ones better suited to raise and take care of children, and the men were the ones out there working and owning land, so they should be the providers.
Right.
Some people will say religiously that is how it's always been. The women were meant to be the nurturers and the caretakers, right, and the men were meant to be the providers. In this day and age, in this era, we know better.
Yes.
And when you speak up against it, sometimes in the church environment, people find it like you're going against the teachings and the will of God.
Yes.
But in this modern day age, it's not a matter of going against God. It is, this child has two parents.
Right.
The child doesn't have one parent. It has two parents that have responsibilities and should be involved in this child's development, not just one.
So, okay, what can we do? Because, okay, I understand the logic, mm-hmm, behind why the men of yesterday did, mm-hmm, it. I understand the viewpoint. It was a different time.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know, okay, and this is statistical information, mm-hmm, right? This ain't something, this ain't feelings, because feelings are not facts.
Mm-hmm.
We know that statistically speaking, children who come from a home, well, let's go, and I've said this a million times, okay, let's go to the prison. Most of them had mothers,
mm-hmm,
but they did not have fathers. Mm-hmm. We also know, statistically speaking, that single father homes produce, that normally the children are what you call it, I don't want to mess it up, but they okay, let me just, mm-hmm, say that they okay, they fully functioning, they fine. Some, in many cases, better than with a mother. We know this. And so if we have this information now, why is this still on the books? Why don't we change it?
Because the people who are listening to you and I talk right now don't want to speak up. Okay. The people who are listening to us right now who, okay, want things to change won't speak up. And you spoke earlier about asking persons if you could mention them and their stories. No, man, no, boy, Stan, you don't do that. No, I don't want to do it. But how will things ever change if the people who are affected don't speak up? The things, okay, that have changed in this country have changed because the people affected spoke up.
Right.
I am one voice. You are.
Right.
You now make two. Right. There are maybe 15 to 20 others. But there are tens of thousands of children across this country who are affected and impacted by the laws that stay on the books.
Right.
But are their fathers speaking up? You tell me once in the history of the Bahamas that you saw single fathers downtown in Parliament Square.
Never.
Saying, we are here demanding that the law change. Never.
Never.
Never. And that's the problem. So you have one or two voices that are out there speaking up for thousands of fathers, but those, right, thousands of fathers won't come out to speak up for themselves.
Wow.
So let's go back to the whole issue of a single mother packing up a child and saying, listen, me and you break up. You've now married Mary Sue or Jane. I'm leaving. I can't be around here anymore. She packs up this child and she moves to Canada. Can she do that? Yes.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because the
this
law
is terrible.
On the book says she's the sole guardian of that child. So what you need to do, and pivot, that's what we do as lawyers. And we understand how to work both sides of a case.
Right.
From that child is born, that single father who knows, I'm marrying this gal. It was a one-night stand. We had a good time. I know this baby coming on July 1st.
Right.
From that baby is born, bring your application to court for custody and access. Not to take the child from her, you know, but joint custody.
Wait, hold on. Wait, we're talking about the single
father? The single father.
The single, so, okay, the baby coming on, the baby was born July 1st.
July 2nd, file your case.
The next day.
The next
fathers,
day.
Fathers, y'all listening?
The next day,
okay,
file your case. You can file your case in two for two scenarios.
Oh,
again, we're only talking about the single fathers right now and the single mother scenario.
Okay.
I have a question.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
That's Paradise Abaco. He was on.
I just have a question from the guys who they asked me. what if the horse didn't leave the barn? Like, what if he didn't do that thing which you're suggesting? And say it's 2 years now. What's the recourse for them? Like, they didn't do what you suggested.
He still can do that. So whether he did it on day two or he did it 2 years later, the only difference is on day two he could have made that application in two courts, magistrate court or Supreme Court, because she would have been here in the Bahamas. You see.
And my last question.
Let me just finish this thought first.
Okay.
So if it's day two, he has two options. He can make the application in the magistrate's court or in the Supreme Court. If it's now that she's left the jurisdiction, whether that's day 10 or day 2 years later, then he would make that application to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court would give him leave via an ex parte application to serve her wherever she is in the world. It doesn't matter.
In the Supreme Court.
You see, with the Supreme Court, in the magistrate court, okay. You won't be able to make that application to have her serve wherever she's going with the kids. But you can make that application to the Supreme Court. So go ahead.
Was that the other question?
Yeah, you answered that. But is there any way to force it if she's in a certain different country, like what you suggested?
Is there any way
to enforce that particular order from the Supreme Court if she is in Canada or London or wherever outside the country?
Yes. Okay, so let's take a step back and explain something for everyone listening. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people in this country who believe that if they were served with a court document, if they don't pick it up, they don't take it from the police, they don't have to appear. Once you are served with a court document in the Bahamas, your lawyer or you would do something called an affidavit of service that verifies that this person was served with the document. I serve people in Colombia, Canada, the US, Europe, via FedEx, DHL, UPS, whatever the case may be. Once that document is served, that bill is sent back to our firm from that shipping company or serving company, that we do an affidavit of service to indicate to the judge that we have served Stanyard Davis, who is hiding in London, England, with this child. The Supreme Court case will proceed without her being there. I will have my documentation to show that I am the father. We were in a relationship. This child was born on XYZ date. Here's all of our text conversation where Stanya said, I'm mad at you with Mary Sue or Jean. Now we done. I care in this child. Stanya's gone. This is where Stanya lives with my child. And I'm now making an application for the court to proceed in Stanya's absence, who think she doesn't have to come back to the Bahamas. The court then makes several orders. One order. First is the declaration of paternity that Renard Henfield is the father of this child. Secondly, that Renard has joint custody of this child, which now means every decision relative to this child's medical, dental, education, religion, sexuality, I have an equal say, and that Renard Henfield has access to this child, and that I want access for half the summer, alternate every Christmas break. I want every other midterm break. I want my child every other birthday. I want my child for Father's Day weekend, and I want to see my child every Friday to Monday morning. And during the week, I won't be able to pick up from school Tuesday and Thursday and drop her by Stanya. But if Stanya's in the U.S. or the U.K., this court can order for her to be brought back to the Bahamas with my child.
Okay. All right. So I want to ask this. Because, okay, so pretty much in this country, you're saying that the rights of the single father, very limited. So I have a few questions. So let's go now. Right, and I know you just shared that. The married father, he has rights.
Yeah, automatically.
Okay, mm-hmm. So what does the healthy father, because even sometimes to me, men who have been divorced, like it's a struggle. Sometimes they say it's a struggle for them. So what is the court looking for in that father? Like what do they need here? And by the way, guys, you can send me a text message or you can give me a call, 323-6232. Y'all know I ain't calling all these numbers. 323-6232. Okay.
So Stanya,
what does that look like?
Let me set the foundation by saying, forget this comment or commentary on the father's rights.
Okay.
Let's not say that anymore. For everyone listening, don't. You lose the case if you go to court thinking, I have rights and I'm trying to win.
Okay.
You lose. The sole line for you moving forward as of today should be, I am here to do what is best for my child and provide everything my child needs to become a responsible, happy, safe adult.
Okay, I see what you did.
Don't
right
mention
there.
No more about your rights as a single man, a married man, right. As a father. Don't mention that, you know, you won't win this case. You're not here to win a case. You're not here for your rights. You are here for the best interest of your child. And the act gives you that hint. The act says in Section 3, the court's paramount concern is the child's welfare. So if the court is sitting only to hear about what is in the best interest of the child, why you run on but you're right? I have a right to this man. I have a right to this woman who can control me. Why you run on but I can win this case and this gal can tell me what to do? That is not what the case is for, and that's why you lose. Come to the court with every line of your court document speaking about what is in the best interest of this child. Having two parents, two love, two set of access to finances, two sets of upbringings. She may have grown up Baptist. I may have grown up Catholic. Both of us know how to cook and clean. Both of us have values we'd instill in this child. That's what this child needs.
So
the best interest of the child.
That's amazing. Okay, so the first thing, guys, what he's saying is that, you know, and right, we've all heard it. Yeah, I have rights and I come in for the custody. Okay, that sounds like, but if you take a different approach when you're saying that, hey, I am here today because I want what's best for my child.
Correct.
I am here to work along with the mother.
Correct.
To provide for my child in whichever way the court decide is best.
Right. And when you talk about providing, it has been instilled in us as men and women for far too long that providing means paying bills. I need a man to provide for this child, and as a man, I give her $50 a week, or I give her $200 a week. That's right. Not the only providing. The act specifically says the child's educational, emotional, mental, financial needs. The court factors in things like religious values, social activity. But all I hear men focus on is, I have a right to see my child, and this is all I can afford to pay. Forget that. Let's talk about, hey, my child needs to be in a church on a weekly basis so they're grounded in religion and faith. My girlfriend or wife don't go to church. She ain't into that. I just go to church. I involved in the church. I in the music industry. I in the altar service, whatever the case may be. And I want to raise my child knowing God, values, so they can contribute to the society from a grounded place. Mm-hmm. I have emotional maturity. I want to teach this child about volunteering at children's homes, seniors' home, etc. I want to instill in this child a trade. I want to guide this child on a path of having a career, thinking long term, being a good person in society. That's your focus. Don't focus about the money aspect and a right to see your child. Push, what does this child need to become a great adult, a good adult? And that's what I want to instill. That's why I'm here.
Oh, guys, this is some good stuff. On a serious note, like I sometimes might be feeling like I'm a strategist, but good thing I know lawyer, because you know, wasn't getting no custody. Listen, this, and I mean, not custody, sorry, but it's right for the child. Let me get this right. But guys, I hope you're listening. I need y'all. I can do y'all, I always do my daughter. Say big brain activity, Malia. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. You hear what he's saying? One, when you reach the court, don't come talking about you going for custody. No, you're going there because you want to work together with the mother for what's best for the child. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, okay, don't be money-centered, money-focused. Mm-hmm. He's saying to talk about, hey, I would like to be a part of my child's life because I would like to instill values in my son, in my daughter. Mm-hmm. I would like to be a part of, you know, I'm a mentor at the Boys Club or Boys Brigade. Mm-hmm. I would like to, you know, I would like my son to come along so that he could be around other healthy, strong men who can mentor him and show him the way. Mm-hmm. Y'all see, that's different from, well, I pay $50, right? I pay this and for that reason, I mean, it's bam. Mm-mm. But guys, see, and I hope y'all are listening, because what he's also saying, this is a life class right now, guys, because what he's trying to teach y'all something else too. Not just how to be this man or this father who only provides money, because I could tell y'all right now, the price for your child's, for the relationship with your child, don't have nothing to do with money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My daughters could care less. And I could tell you right now, I could remember being embarrassed the first day someone made it known to my daughter that I was an attorney. My daughter had no clue, could care less. You know what she knew me as? This daddy. Babe.
Yeah.
My name was Daddy Babe.
Daddy
and somebody
Babe.
Walk up to me when she was about 8 years old and say, counsel man, listen, I will run this case by you, blah, blah. Stand up in the mall and talk to me for about 30 minutes.
Right.
And my child, confused when he walk off, Why do they call you counsel?
What that is.
What that is. Yeah, and I had to explain to my child what that, right. Oh, well, your daddy's a lawyer. She didn't care that her daddy was a lawyer.
Right.
All she knew that her daddy was there to drop her to school. Her daddy's there to pick her up. Her daddy's there to bring the lunch. Her daddy's hug her and kiss her. Her daddy's care to the playground. We duck school some days, so we go to the playground. We go to the beach. That's all she cared about. And to this day, as she is where I took her and her sister last week, she still sends me messages throughout the day, best friend, best friend. And my wife goes, 9 months I carry this dog on child.
I'm telling you, and this she's right here in the morning, but this
my best friend.
It's your bad man.
Because I focused on the emotional, the religious, the love, the caring, not the money.
Right.
And we were raised to think we have to provide. Yeah. I came from a family of, we's mine, but we got to pay bills, we's provide.
Yes.
And I had to flip that and realize, you know what kids really want? To feel loved.
Yes.
To be seen. And to be heard.
I'm so happy you're here today because, see, if I say it, see, this is like the prophet Deborah. Deborah, tell the man, you all know I can mess up this Bible, this story right now. Mm-hmm. He told the man, listen, no, you got to go do this. Because, see, if I come and if I do this, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work out good for you. So, you see, Mr. Hanfield is in here. He's speaking because, see, if I say it as a woman, y'all are going to say, oh, right, women are bitter, women, whatever it is. But here is a man who's a father who is telling you guys that this is what it looks like and this is what positive parenting also looks like. I can't say this enough, guys. We need y'all and we don't just need to. We need y'all. I am a big, grown, 100 years old woman, and I still want to need my dad. And I'll tell you, years later, nobody is saying, boy, in 2026 my daddy did buy me that them new whatever to out whatever, but they will say, I remember when my dad used to take me here. Me and my daddy used to do that. You understand? There are things right now, I don't even have plenty memory about my mommy taking me out, and I know she did. Man, my daddy used to take me here, man. That's why you don't want to take me on no date right now, because y'all got to feed me dead expensive and dead good. But these are the things that, that people remember, is these moments.
I tell fathers, I had to make an application, and obviously as an attorney, we never give you the person's names and the specifics, but I'll give you the scenario of having to take a child from a mother and who just never had time for this child. And the father has, and I said to him, and he meets with me, I need every picture that you take with your child. And this man had to send me a Google Doc or file.
Wow.
Because he had thousands of pictures of him and his two-year-old daughter. Thousands.
Wow.
I'm not talking about an 18-year-old child, a two-year-old child from before she was born. The pictures and all the stuff he bought in the crib and him doing the room and the carpet and stickers on the mirror and the doors to the belly with him touching the belly to the doctor's visits to his child being born and him changing pampers.
Oh my.
He has his ritual of feeding the child her first fruit thing, and he has all of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which showed this guy was not just spending money.
Right.
He was present.
Yeah.
He was there emotionally. He's there at the church, just him and his daughter at church. The mother ain't into that church thing.
Yes.
And he got all his pictures, all these things. I mean, from my look that I thought, this case finished. He has this child.
Right.
So sad, so done. Because he's able to show that the mother was unfit pursuant to Section 21 of that Child Protection Act and Section 22 of the Act, that he is best and better suited to be involved in this child's life or this child's interests.
Okay, I was just about to say, that's another question.
He didn't go to the court, but my right, you know.
Right.
He was able to show the court, this is what I do in this child's life on a daily basis. I bring a sense of peace, happiness, comfort, love, religion on a daily, weekly basis.
So I have a question, although I see Wally just came in studio. Wally, I can talk your business right now. So remember I tell y'all I was out in the hot sun? I was out in the hot sun with Wally on a remote. Mm-hmm. And let me tell y'all, Wally talked me weak with his children.
Your daddy.
Wally talked me weak about his sons. I kid you not. See him over there looking.
Proud dad.
I made weak. Proud. And listen, y'all. And not only did he talk me weak, he gave me his phone because I had to go through the phone to look at the pictures.
Wow.
Okay, I had to go look at the pictures. Wow. And then I had to tell him that his wife had to been beautiful because these children look good. And Wally, I know Wally. Hey!
I have the same problem. You see my children? They look
That's right, they're cute. Thank God for their mothers.
Oh, Lord, thank God. Amen. Preach.
But you could tell fathers who are present.
Yeah.
And they ain't got a little, and they don't have one story.
No.
They have many. They have countless stories. I tell you, I don't hear all everything, but what, and he got two children, so I had to hear but the two.
Two. Good, man. Good.
Yes. Good. Guys.
So I think, guys, you know, listening today, I may take it for granted as a lawyer because I do it on a daily basis, weekly basis. I've been doing this now for so many years. And I may take it for granted, but I can say to you today that we have the approach wrong for men coming to court saying that they want custody and access. And the approach that has I've seen why cases haven't gone their way and they say the courts are against men, there's that public perception that the court right. is anti-men and for women, is because we as men have only focused on one aspect, providing, and then we phrase that in our rights. Whereas that access is not about your rights. It's not just about the money. It is about these other aspects, and we've missed that. Right. So I'm saying to you, not just as a father, but as a lawyer who practices and specializes in family law, shift your focus, shift the narrative. Pivot. But to be able to shift that, you got to first be doing those things. Because you can't exhibit nothing in a court document that you haven't been doing.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be filing on year two for custody and access when you were never present. You have no text, no email message nothing. Where you've been sending. You have no proof where I've been sending the money, the cards, right. the pictures. I've been flying. I don't know my child in Long Island, and I ain't Nassau with the mother. And you can tell me in 2 years you ain't jump on a plane to go on to Long Island yet.
Exactly.
I was going to Long Island every month, and I was going to spend Friday to Monday afternoon. I was picking a child from school in Long Island on Friday, and I was going to drop that child back to school on Monday. So the excuse can't be will the mother move. If you want to eventually get to the point where you have the child or you have equal access to the child, you need to lay the groundwork. Lay the foundation. You got to show up and do. And don't mind the mother rejecting you and making it difficult. You have to know, and for the women listening, I shouldn't be saying because I know women listening, build your case.
So
your case.
So what, okay, since it appears, okay, somebody has another text message here. Okay, what y'all saying here? All right, good afternoon. What about these married men who hide their children? Oh, yeah, I got a question for that one from their wives and is not providing for the child, but wants to anger when they can't see the child. Oh, yeah, that's a big one. And before we get there, though, okay, let's go. What does the court see as an unfit mother?
Okay, a woman who is a habitual,
I'm trying to help you all guys,
a woman who is an habitual drunk, and let's distinguish each point as we go.
Okay.
Not somebody who goes out on Saturday, has a good time out, and 2 o'clock come home, she can't handle her drinks, and you know, she vomit. That's not an habitual drunkard. Okay. An habitual drunk, this person drinks every day,
every week. What about every week?
Every day, not every week. You can't ask this person to go out on Friday, Saturday, have a drink, and she's get drunk. It has to be habitual.
Okay.
This is constant. A constant thing for her. You have to have somebody who is involved in the, I would say, adult life now, because we have something called OnlyFans, but you also have women who go to certain buildings to offer services. Mm-hmm. That is one of the grounds. A woman who is physically, emotionally, and mentally abusive towards the child.
Wait, hold on. Let's go back to involved in adult life.
Mm-hmm.
What about a mother who may have a revolving door of boyfriends?
Yes, if you can prove that she's promiscuous, you can use this as grounds because she's exposing your children emotionally and mentally to harm, even to sexual harm.
Right.
Because we don't know if Tom, Dick, or Harry may be a pedophile.
Listen.
So every week is a different man, every month is a different man. You can raise that as well. This woman is unfit.
Okay.
In the last 12 months, there have been 12 men in this home with my children. She's left my children home with men. It's just ridiculous. So you can raise that as well.
Okay.
But definitely you want to show that if you can show any of these, that she's an habitual drunkard, she's very promiscuous,
mm-hmm.
She's abusive. And abusive is not just physical. It can be emotional, verbal, or mentally abusive to kids. So when the kid is with you, the child says, my mommy says a piece of this, I need to carry my mother that and a this, and she curses me all day, and I cry myself, and she says, shut up, I give you something to cry for. Those things you can put in your affidavit. All right. So you're looking for her lifestyle.
Okay.
I did a case recently where, and I think, it made the news. It was in the public arena where the mom in that case, I'm not giving any names because it's public, it's made the news, is now with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the father in that case was saying that's why she's unfit. Mm-hmm. And the court was able to look at the full circumstances and say, no, she's not unfit. She has one partner since she's left you. And mm-hmm. her and this female have been together for 3 years. The children are safe. They value these children. They're raising these children properly, right? It's just that she has a different sexual orientation than before. And the court said, that's not unfit.
So, okay, what about if the shoe was on the other foot? Okay, because see, all kind of things coming in my mind. Guys, mm-hmm. I got you all today. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have clients who are bisexual mm-hmm. or maybe who now live a same-sex lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they want custody. Mm-hmm. Now, just how the woman had, she right. had a same-sex partner. But, you know, there is, to me, I don't know, I could be wrong, but society looks at it as a bad, you know, worse than as a male. Mm-hmm. So do you think, and I know this is hypothetically right. speaking, that males, let's say the man is divorced and he's now living with his male mm-hmm. lover or partner, mm-hmm. can he, the chances of him getting custody, what does look does that
it happens
like?
I've seen cases where it
and
happens
he,
yes.
so he did he still got yes. custody or visitation rights and all
right.
that stuff
what the okay. court looks at is not so much the sexuality of the parent now
okay
but the environment the child is in okay. is the environment harming the child
right
because you and I could be in a relationship man and woman right. but we have an environment where we are fighting every day
right
we have an environment where I caught you with a but another man, you caught right. me with another woman, and we're constantly fighting over it. Women, I have the children one day with one woman, next week I have the children with another woman. Mm-hmm. We are affecting them emotionally and mentally. Or you have a man coming over who is a pedophile. I have mm-hmm. a woman coming over who may be a pedophile.
Right.
Or who may be bisexual in the fairy turn. The court looks at the environment, not your sexuality. But the okay. environment that the children are in, are they exposed to seeing the acts?
Okay, so okay, because see, and this is my little points. I don't see you, Gary, come on again. I don't mm-hmm. see that because I even get to all my things. But okay, all right. So I know most people have a hard time differentiating daddy as the lover, partner versus daddy as a daddy, the man mm-hmm. as you know versus. Mm-hmm. So let's say because there are cases where the woman caught her husband with mm-hmm. the same sex person mm-hmm. and like I one comes to mind and mm-hmm. my client he was afraid because he didn't want that to come up and so because he said he was feeling as though the court would now look at that mm-hmm. as though he's unfit
no so, that doesn't make any person unfit their okay. sexuality doesn't make okay. them unfit it's what you expose the children to
okay
so when we talk about unfit, Section 21 of that Child Protection Act speaks mm-hmm. to a father wanting to take the mother's custody away from her. Mm-hmm. He has to prove that she's unfit.
And this is, a single father can do this?
Single father or married okay. man, okay, okay, can do that. If you can prove that this woman is unfit, by law, you can make the application to court under Section 21 of the Child Protection Act to take the child away from her.
Okay.
If you can't prove she's unfit, then you fall under Section 22 of the Act, mm-hmm. where you have to show the court that this child needs both parents in their life.
Which means, once okay. again, we right back to the first thing you said, which mm-hmm. was, I'm here because mm-hmm. I want to co-parent and work together.
In the best interest of this child.
Okay.
So when I hear men, Stanya, say that, man, the law ain't for us, it is. It's right there, Section mm-hmm. 21 or 24. 21 says you can take away the mother's custody and rights because she's unfit.
Right.
And if you don't have those scenarios where she's unfit, then you go into Section 22 that says it is in the best interest of this child to have both parents in their life.
Okay, so as an attorney, have you seen any single dad? And I'm going mm-hmm. on the single because we have, and this is why the laws also have to change because the community, society has changed. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of unmarried parents.
Yes, we do.
You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so now it's time, one thing is that we now know that there are a lot of women who are not maternal. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of women mm-hmm. who are not maternal, or there are a lot of, I mean, there are cases when, I know I'm going back and forth right now, where I have seen like the father is a better parent. Mm-hmm. Let me say that it's a better parent. It is in the best interest of the child. Let me say, mm-hmm. because it's not that the mothers are bad parents. Right. Okay, mm-hmm. that's not what I'm saying. But it's in the best interest of the child to be with the father.
Mm-hmm.
And,
all that father needs to do is speak to a family law attorney.
Even the single one?
Yes, yes. Tanya, when I was coming here, I was listening to you at about a few minutes past one. I was pulling up, and you know, it I was at the sports center, and my mind just ran on how many men in this country go to court and hire lawyers who don't do family law.
That's another thing. Yes.
You know? But you know why, though? Because, you see, I was your cousin, Stanya, and you ain't got no money to pay no lawyer. So you call your cousin who you know just do tax law, land law, et cetera, and say, man, listen, come, I got to care this gal to court, come help me with this case.
Right.
And your cousin say, man, you need to go so-and-so, man, I ain't got a man, cuz do it for me. And your cousin is trying to help you, a family member or just a friend.
Right.
And this person doesn't know all the intricacies of family law, the Child Protection Act, doesn't know the judges and the process and the procedure. And then you start off with your affidavit not doing what it needs to do, showing the court what's in the best interest of this child.
So first step, even before you get to court, that's another thing. See, these are the
before you get to court, know who you're going to court with.
Right, you need to go to a family lawyer.
Right, and when you get to the family lawyer, you should have already put in the work to be involved in this child's life.
Yeah.
You see, if I have a woman right now that we together, if I'm with you, Stanya, and we have a five-year-old child, and in the past 5 years, every Sunday, come and say, Stanya, man, come go to church. Man, you know, I ain't for that. I was working in the hotel, and I tie, and I ain't for that. Okay, no problem. That's Stanya's life.
Right.
But I get up every Sunday, and I carry this child to church.
Right.
Now, Stanya and I break up. Stanya meets somebody at the hotel. Stanya leaving me. What I cussing and caring with you for, Stanya, go. But leave my child. I better suited to raise this child. Go.
Right.
And if you say you taking my child, and you leave with the child, then I go to court the next day with my lawyer, make the application for me to have custody, care, and control the child. Let me raise this child. Stanya can see this child every day she off. Whenever Stanya can pick up this child from school and drop her by me in the evening, that's fine. If Stanya want the child for half the summer, that's fine. If Stanya go away with the child, that's fine. But this child can be raised by me. I am better suited based on what this child needs.
I think like there's a stigma. And there's a stigma with mothers, women, and all that stuff where they don't want to seem, like I said, oh, well, my child, they live with their daddy. Well, why the child isn't with the mother? When something happens, the first thing we always say, well, where the mommy, what happened to, right? So they don't want to be, Brittany, there's someone on the line. So they don't want to be perceived as a quote unquote bad parent.
Right.
But like I said, there's so many cases that I've seen personally just as a life coach where it's best for the child to be with the father.
And I've done several cases like that.
Yeah.
Several cases like that. Anyway. And many of the times I've seen the mothers not even put up a fight, and there are times they put up a fight and the court ruled in favor of the father.
Okay. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Stanya, and good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I have a question. But Stanya, before I ask this question, on Facebook, you are Tanya Davis, not Stanya.
I am on Facebook as Stanya D. Well, that's my personal page, but on that's Stanya D-D-E-E. But on the Tell It to Stanya page or the professional page, I think I'm on as Stanya O. It might just be Stanya O. Yeah, Stanya O.
Okay, I got to look for it. Yeah, right, my question
I would appreciate
is,
if you like that page. Thanks. Go on now.
Okay. My question for your guest is, Stanya was talking about earlier. Does the child have a say in it? Like if the child 10. Just say I 10.
The child
my mommy and my daddy break up and my daddy turn a hen. I mean, not a hen, I'll turn into a homosexual. And then he's saying he want me. He want to take custody to live there. Does the child have a say in that? If he have to go there?
Yes, under the Child Protection Act, if you go to Section 3 of the Act, and everything I'm saying to you is right online, so you don't
okay, because why I say that? Because I got denied. I got denied that. I ain't going there with my daddy and no boyfriend, but no thing. I'm telling the court I want to live with my mother.
Okay, so for those men listening to you and I right now, have that conversation, this dialogue, the court does care about what the child has to say.
Okay, well, I
love
my say then.
Look
under
Section.
The court,
you're an adult. You're an adult. Yeah. But for the men
if
listening,
if the court forced me to go there, you're running away. I ain't going there.
Don't you?
No, right. You're all over nice afternoon.
Okay, darling.
Yeah.
Okay, and by the way, I see somebody just sent me a friend request, so I know you're all listening. And listen now, could you go to Stanya O page? I didn't tell you Stanya O page. She's looking a little struggly. Could you go to Stanya O? You can send me a friend request. I'm going to accept that, yes. But I would really appreciate if you and all your friends like Stanya O, because something big is actually coming on that side of town. So like Stanya O on Facebook, guys.
So let me just fill in for everyone that's listening to the last caller. Section 3 of the Child Protection Act has a checklist for every single judge or magistrate that hears a case involving a child. And one of the things it says is the court must listen to the ascertainable wishes of the child. So if you are the mother and you are uncomfortable with your child going by the father, then you can say to the judge, I would like for you to hear my child. And the way the judge does it is what I did 2 days ago in the case. The judge would have the parents bring the children to court on the lunch break, which is normally 1 o'clock, which is what we did this week. And then the parents and the lawyers have to leave the building. The judge orders McDonald's or Wendy's, etc., sits inside her office and speaks with the children. It may take 2 hours because they don't jump right into the issue.
Right.
They will sit down and say, hey, you're like KFC, Wendy's, Popeyes, whatever the case may be. And whichever, if one of the children says, I want Popeyes, the other one says Wendy's or pizza, they send for that.
Okay.
And they put on a TV show, whatever the kids them like, and they just let them get comfortable, eat, and then the conversation starts. You know why you're here? You know why, Jim, mommy and daddy tell you why you're coming here today to talk to me? Okay, tell me. And the judge hears from all the children together first, then separates them, speaks with them individually, and then bring them back in together collectively to summarize to make sure everybody's on the same page. Mm-hmm. The parents are not allowed. The lawyers are not allowed. The judge then goes away after several days or weeks and prepares her ruling based on what she's heard and tested from these children. The judges also request social services to do a report. So social services will speak with the mother, the father, your new partner, come to your house, go to your workplace, speak to your neighbors, and social services will provide a report.
Okay.
So we take family law very serious. From the outside, looking in, you may not know what's going on behind the scenes.
Okay, I was sitting here thinking, I was like, wait, hold on now, because boy, sometimes parents, a little tricky now, they're going to prep the child, prepare the child for, you know.
And the judges are aware of that.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, I was just about to say,
tell me what your mommy say to tell me today. What will he say? It's okay. She didn't tell me, you could tell me. I will see if you can tell me the same thing mommy say she tell you to say. Are you ready?
I was just about to say, because I was sitting there, I was like, oh boy, some of these parents, what? I know these mothers say could be on that channel. Yeah. When you go and tie, they must. And then I sat and I was like, no, because, okay, as a helping professional, I can still see through the crap.
Yes.
I am well aware of who told you what to say.
You see, and for the mother or father, this is the only one case they have. But for this judge, this is case number 450 for the year.
They do this for a living.
They know what they're doing.
They paid to do this.
They know what they're doing.
Yes. Okay, so that's very interesting. But, you know, I'm just back on with these laws in this country because
They are old, Stanya, but I did a case, a couple cases in the last few years that was in the news, and more so in the news because they caused a shift in the law, one of them being paternity fraud. And when I was doing the paternity fraud case about 2 years back, I remember at the start of that case thinking, I don't have a law for this.
Right.
But I'm going to argue this case to shift the law, to make law to this. And now we have paternity fraud.
Okay.
Where if a mother tells a man he's the father, which happens every single year in this country.
Right.
And this man taking care of this child carrying his name, and then this man finds out later on in life the child ain't his.
Right.
The mother should be brought to family court and made to reimburse this man, made to pay for counseling for this child.
Right.
The Birth and Registrar General's Department should be able to change this child's name to remove that man's name because this child is not his, which has inheritance impact, that if he was to die, this child, which is not his, would be inheriting his estate. All that needs to change. I had to factor all that in.
Can criminal charges be brought?
In certain countries, like I believe in Africa, in certain countries, they have criminal charges that can be brought. But when we did the case, my proposal for the judge is that the mother be found guilty of paternity fraud and made to reimburse the man, made to provide counseling for this child, made to change the child's name, etc. And I factored in doing that case, would I want this mother to go to prison? No, because this child has lost his father, who he thought was his daddy. Now I want to send the mother to jail too.
Right.
So I had to pull the brakes on that one.
Because it's the well-being of the child.
Right.
Yes.
So there's that scenario of paternity fraud to factor in too. There are men taking care of children today that are not theirs.
Yeah. You know, but something comes to mind. I remember working with someone. And I was like, wait, hold on, is this child your husband's child? And it's like, So I was like, okay, any of the children? Your husband's child? And I think it was, how many kids? It was 4 kids. And she was like, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for the guys listening, if it's a few things I'd like you to understand today, it's one, you have to put in that time to be involved in your kid's life if it is that you want to have to be able to go to court. Put in that time.
Okay, I have another question. All right, this is something else that came up. Okay, so a gentleman asked, and this, oh gosh, I've heard this before. The mother has moved on. They got married. Mm-hmm. And the mother now wants to change the child's last name mm-hmm. to her husband, her new husband's name. Mm-hmm. Can she legally do this without the consent of the father, single father or divorced father?
Okay, so two scenarios kick in. The first scenario is if the single father signed for that child, when that mm-hmm. child was born, that means the child carries that single father's name.
Okay.
So he has a right by law. This is my child. This child will carry this name.
Right.
For the mother to be able to change that name, the only place that name can be changed is by the government. So she could go and register a child at any school. The school's going to look at the government-issued document that has the single father's name. So to change that, she has to be able to convince the registrar general's office, which is a department, and the attorney general's office, law, that this child is not Henfield anymore. This child is now Davis. Mm-hmm. And two things that can be done, two ways that can be done, by a court order mm-hmm. or by the father, the single father, signing an affidavit to mother saying that I have learned that I am not the father mm-hmm. and that the child should not carry my name.
Well, this is in the event, like I said, that this guy, he knows that he's the father, but mm-hmm. like I've heard this little craziness what's going on with, like I said, okay, now she have a new husband. And now she wants to change the child's name, and you know she's at. So I wanted to know if legally she can go ahead.
She can try. Realistically, if she was walking into my law firm right now and say, "Listen, I have a child that's a Moss, mm-hmm. and I'm now married to a Davis, and mm-hmm. I want to change my child's name to Davis. This child is now 5."
Right.
I would say to her, "You'd be wasting money right now." Because any lawyer can tell you, we could try and see what happened. But I can tell you what the judge is going to do. The judge is going to tell you no. And here's the story the judge is going to give you. When this child is 18 or 20 years old and buck one gal to one club or one care this gal home mm-hmm. and do, and they have a child, he wonder why this child is born with defects. He can then realize, hey, we was related. Mm-hmm. So because of that concern, the judges don't allow you to give a child a name mm-hmm. that is not his. Because this child who would have been a Moss may end up meeting a Moss in 15 years and yeah. marrying a Moss.
Yeah.
So they want to make sure the child understands its lineage, who its parents, who its family is. Mm-hmm. The next concern too, why the child carrying the right name is so important and the child knowing who the true father is important, is because the child may need blood in the future, need an right. organ in the future, and the man that you think is the daddy ain't the daddy
right.
and can't give blood. So there's a number of dynamics, but the big picture for judges in the family division is this child's identity is important. This child should know who he is and where he or she come from.
Okay.
You are a Henfield.
Right.
We're not going to let this woman change your name to Davis simply because right. her new man is Davis.
Right.
You're going to be a Henfield. When you're going to the airport, your passport can say Henfield.
Right.
And her husband can say Davis. We're not going to give you Davis.
Wow. Okay. So now we've talked about like things that men know before going into, you know, going to court and mm-hmm. all this stuff.
Right.
But okay. I'm sure you see a lot of women mm-hmm. who are coming in for this. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give, or what do you think women don't get or need to get or whatever? I have my little list right now for y'all, but I waiting. But what would you say that women need to understand also going into this? Because, right, because listen, we be ready for this battle too. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the child is the only one suffering. What do you want the women to understand and get about how, I don't know if it's how important it is for the fathers to be there or, you know, because I've seen so many vicious things, spiteful things that women have done. Not saying that the men don't do it, mm-hmm. but right now we're talking about this here situation where women do this stuff. We're talking to you because mm-hmm. people listening right now, they holding their children hostage from their fathers. What do you think women need to understand that they're not getting because they're just in battle mode right now?
What women need to understand is that every single day in this country, they work with, they're friends with, they go to church with women who feel and have felt unloved by their fathers all their lives at no fault of their fathers.
Yes.
Because there was some woman before who said, I'm mad at Renard. I ain't talking to him. He ain't gonna see right. this child. So while you mad at me and I mad at you, there's a more important person in the middle of this who's gonna grow up feeling unloved,
yes.
unwanted, daddy issues, man issues, who's gonna yes. miss out on certain values in life simply because you was mad at me and I was mad at you.
Right.
So if it's one thing I want women to understand listening today, though, is it's okay to be done with a man, you know, and it's okay to be mad at a man for right. moving on or for cheating on you. But that child is going to become an adult someday.
Right.
And this childhood, they won't be able to relive. And if you can put your ego, your feelings, and your pride aside for your mm-hmm. child, it is the best thing you can do. Because yes. that child will grow up feeling loved by both parents. That child will grow up being protected by both parents.
Right.
That child will grow up being financially supported by both parents. I've said to mothers who've said to me in the last 23 years of my career, I don't need he $50, $100, you know, he could keep that. And I just say to them, I know you don't need it, but in 15 years when this child is graduating from high school right. and this child wants to go to college that costs 25 grand and you don't have it, because today 50, you mad at him.
That's
that
right.
little $50 every month, which is $200 times 12, that's which is right. $24 times 10 years, is $24,000, etc.
That's right.
This child could have gone to college or would have been able to go to college, but for you in your feelings. So I need you to put yourself and your pride on the side and think long term for your child, not just financially though,
right.
but emotionally, wow. mentally, because these children have grown up, and I know children who were children when I were doing their cases, who are adults now, who grew up feeling unloved, depressed,
wow. yes.
having anxiety.
Yes.
Not because their daddy didn't want to be around, because their mother didn't want their daddy around because he married somebody else.
I'm telling you, listen, once again, anytime working with people, whenever they come to me, they could come to me for grief, whatever the heck they come to me for. I always go back. And in the childhood, it's normally these same things mm-hmm. that show up. Mm-hmm. They're not, they don't feel love.
Yep.
They don't feel, they don't even know, they're women mm-hmm. who don't know what it is, what it feels like to be safe with a man.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
understand? And that's on both sides. Mm-hmm. That's whether or not the dad didn't provide it, but it's also mm-hmm. when the woman kept the child away from the father. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. so many things we get from our fathers.
You know, so that's one thing for the women, but the men need to understand that too, that, you know, while this woman might be unreasonable in your mind and rowing and caring all the time and controlling, etc., there's a child, a little boy, a little girl, or right. both, who did not ask to be here.
Right.
And $50 a week ain't no money.
Right.
Because lunch at the school is $5 to $7.
I sitting here hungry right now and I'm going to go buy food for about $20-something. Okay. $50, $40.
So giving a woman $50 a week for a child, man, there's a man telling you that ain't no money, you know.
And that's another thing. You know, a lot of times men say, oh, well, you know, when I give her money, then she's go get her hair done. Listen, let me tell you all something. She might go get her hair done, but at some point she still have to go and buy the food. She still got to go. And if you give her, let's say you give her the school fee money and she take that school fee money and she went somewhere, your child is going to school. She still got to put that money back.
But she could also be arrested.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's a crime.
That's a crime?
If you go right in the Child Protection Act, there's a whole section specifically for that.
I got to read this act, man.
Yes, and that's one of the things with us in the country we don't read. But it's right there. And, you know, I take responsibility for that because as a family law practitioner, while I come and do shows like this and I do the Facebook Lives, I believe we need to do more to share the information like what you're doing and facilitating today.
But
we need to have these conversations.
But we're not. Okay, but then she's still going to spend the money on what
she
it's
only, she only could do it once because I had to do it once for a mother when she got the maintenance every single month. I represented the father. She spent the money. The
child's school fee wasn't paid. Okay, no, see,
when the judge said, 21 days in Fox Hill, if you ever do this again.
Oh,
she's to call him and say, hey, we ain't needing this week. We got it. He said, no, I still can send it. No, we got it. It changed her because she ain't going to go back up there.
But I'm not talking about those women. I'm talking about, let's say, you know, when my daughter's dad would give me, okay, this Malia little money. I may go to the thing and go buy my little shoe.
He ain't reimbursing you, Stanya.
Yeah, yes.
That's all he doing. He's reimbursing you because if he's sending $200 a month, you're probably spending $1,000.
I guarantee
you. You got light bill, water bill, phone bill, mortgage, grocery, gas to put in the car.
I guarantee you. Now, I must say now when my daughter, now I must say, I never know, but paying no school fee, I'll give my daughter's dad props for that night. And never, I don't know what QC school fee is to this day. I must say, that was ahead of time, the uniform. Yeah, I must say that.
Good.
But, okay, and by the way, I'm not done yet, but how can people find you though? Because...
So what I do, and I will say this, so you made a joke earlier, so they're getting a free consultation today. Consultation for most of us as attorneys start at $300 for an hour session. So I try to do more radio shows and even my Facebook page, Facebook Live. But what I also offer is every month, I would have a few days out of the month where you can just reach out to me and schedule a free consultation day where I may take on like 10 to 20 people for the day to just do it free. I'm trying to help. So you don't need to sit back listening today and think, oh, I can't afford an attorney. Mm-hmm. Just reach out to me on my Facebook page. It's just Renard Eric Henfield, R-E-N-A-R-D, Eric Henfield. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to the page and simply say, hey, I heard you on Stanya's show. I want to bounce my scenario off you and get some guidance, and I will do so free of charge. You don't need to pay a consultation for that.
Well, I wondered if they thought I was joking when I said a word on the street was you was affordable. I be stalking people, y'all. I keep telling y'all. I be stalking people from a distance. Listen, in preparation for the show, I messaged one guy, and he was like, oh, Stanya, it's so good to hear from you, blah, blah, blah. I say, yeah, that's all right, but I know what's going on. I just need to ask you this question. Yes. Nowhere. I be stalking people. That's the word on the street. I'm telling you. They're like, why don't you go to Renard? He's where you go wait with your man.
I try to remind lawyers that while this is our profession, when you are in family law, you've taken this area specifically to help.
Right.
And we have other areas of law where I wouldn't give you a break. You get locked up for murder, armed robbery, shot, breaking this, my full bill.
Right, everything.
Send it up front.
And your long...
In family law, I will bend over backwards weekends, Father's Day and all. I spent most of the time while out of the jurisdiction speaking with families who need guidance, etc. So I have no problem. Just reach out to me, Renard Henfield on Facebook, and I'll assist. All my law firm, which is Learn It Friends Law Chambers. You can just call the firm and just mention that you saw, listen to me on the show and you need some assistance. You just need me to take a break to talk to you. That's fine.
And listen, and y'all don't go. They're thinking the whole process free because y'all is be little do. Or what one of my colleagues say, he say, no, Miss Davis, they be people is be little do do. Right, they say, no, they be doo-doo. Listen, be say consultation, okay? Because free things cost you more anyhow. Get that in your head. That's what my daughter daddy used to tell me, too. That's how, you see, that's how I get pregnant right now. I just say, but anyhow, listen, before we go, just a few things, guys. Mothers, I want you to remember this. The fathers, you're afraid to leave your child with the father. Just how you had to figure it out as a mother. Allow him to figure it out as a father. You know, another thing, a lot of times, you know, we think, oh, the daddy, they just want to play a game and they know they even let him brush his teeth. They ain't da da da. Listen, first of all, children need that little craziness from the father. That's first of all. Second of all, you've been messing up plenty with your children, but nobody know. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. He will have responsibility with the child when you allow him to.
Yes.
Another thing, you have to differentiate this man as the man who mess up in your life as a partner versus him as a father. Mm-hmm. These are two different roles. A guy could be terrible in relationships, but great as a father. And you have to know the difference, guys. Women, you gotta let go of the control. And when I say control, this is what this look like. Because y'all like say you'd be little doo-doo sometime. Mm-hmm. The child with the father and you're calling every minute. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to see the child. No. Mm-hmm. That is control. And and then we use it as a guy's, oh, but I'm a mommy. Mm-hmm. No, that's being controlling and manipulative. Allow the child to be with the father. Okay. We also have to understand women. Mothers, parenting styles are different. Mm-hmm. One isn't better than the other. It's just different, and we need both. Another thing, when you're making decisions for this child, I've noticed this, women just made the decisions, and they don't take into consideration the father. They really feel like this my child. No. Did you? To have a child? Mm. You didn't the word with the M? Mm-hmm. No, it came together. Mm-hmm. Come on. When you're making a decision, you call the father and you say, hey, I had a thought. I was thinking about this. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Are you able to do this? Do you think we should do this with little Johnny? Mm. Come on. You got to make decisions together. And something, as women, sometimes we have these unrealistic thoughts. You know, there's a situation that I'm familiar with. The woman don't even work. She ain't even working. She wants the child to go to private school. And the father, he's not in a position to do that. You don't even have a job. Mm-hmm. But this is what you want. This is unrealistic. Remember now. See, this is the biggest thing when Renard left with us. We're coming together for the best interests mm-hmm. of the child. And the best interest may be to go to this school. But realistically speaking, you're not even in a position to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair. That's not fair. Okay, guys? So these are some of the things. Wait, what I have here now? What I write this sign? Oh, I write this. I say, let kids go. Oh, that was when I was saying that in your heart, if you know that the child is better off with the father, that doesn't mean you're a bad mommy. And it doesn't mean that you'll never see your child. It just means that the best interest of the child is with the father. Boy, I wish I could have dropped Malia Lilipo off and go, but what? What? Listen. Hey! Yes. There's some fathers out there. Listen, they really daddying out here in a big way. It's okay, guys. It's okay. Guys, well, this is a together thing.
Mm-hmm.
No sleeping together. When you sleep together and it's done, people catch feelings and it's just a bad situation. No arguing in front of the children.
Mm-hmm.
No using children as a pawn.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming together. See, I have coming together.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Set healthy boundaries, but be realistic. No talking bad about the daddy behind and when the child is there. No talking bad about the mother when the mother is not there. Come on now. Okay, and this is the big one. When there's a mate, when you now, guys, I'm talking to y'all now. When y'all meet this new woman, and I know y'all introduce the child to this new woman, and that's okay, but also introduce this child, this woman, to the mother as well. And it's not about she telling you who to date or whatever. And vice versa with the mother too. Because now you're bringing somebody in to this sacred space. And remember now, this co-parenting is a result of a broken relationship. This is the repercussion. This is how you now have to move together. Is it comfortable? No. You could be in your feelings? Yes. But it's not about you. You meet someone, and after dating for a while, not introduce everyone to the children. You know, nobody's scared to meet my daughter, not my black gal.
Mm-hmm.
After a little while, then you talk about it. Hey, listen, I started dating and I'm thinking about, you know, Johnny is here a lot and my girlfriend comes over a lot. And I just wanted to kind of run this past you. Come on. We have to be more mature with things. We have to be more emotionally mature. And we're not as a society. It's about the children. It's not about us. There are mothers or women who are upset because the man moved on. I know you're hurting. It hurts. But it's not about you. Do not close the door on your children. The more love that your children receive, the healthier they are. We don't have, you know what I realize, Renat? We don't have a children's problem.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't.
We have a parenting problem.
Amen to that. I agree.
We have a parenting problem in this country.
Fully agree.
And if we could just fix that, we'll be healthier as people.
Amen.
So with that said, I want to say thank you.
You're welcome anytime.
For being a part of the show. I really appreciate this. And, you know, he gave a whole lot of free things. You didn't talk, but what all these free things used to be doing? You got you on Facebook Live. You got free. What all these things?
Yeah, I find the Facebook Live, when I do them, I will see them hit like 20,000 people. So it has a good reach where I can get to go on. I ask people first to tell me what areas of law you need me to explain for you.
Right.
And then I'll take like a week to prepare them. Sometimes I end up with 50 different people asking for scenarios. And then I have to spend this 2 hours explaining on the Facebook Live. Then I leave that Facebook Live after about a week. And when I look at it, I'll see at least 20,000 people got to watch it. So it helps. And then I'll see people who will obviously message back or call and say, hey, right. I tried that. It worked. Or, you know, I may need some help in this area.
So what do most Bahamians, what do they want like to know more about anyhow?
Unfortunately, you just said we have a parenting problem, which suggests an adult problem.
Yes.
Relationships. We have a lot of people in this country who enter into relationships and don't understand their love language.
Right.
Don't understand their apology language. And the first thing then to do is I must divorce and break up this family and rip these children away.
Wow.
So again, it's an adult problem because we don't know how to communicate.
And resolve stuff.
We don't know how to resolve things.
No, we
so we have to jump from Tom, Dick, and Harry to Tom, Dick tomorrow and Dick, Harry the next day. And we think that's fine or Mary, Sue, and Jean. But what we're doing is we are affecting these children emotionally and mentally.
Traumatizing
is the perfect word for that.
Yes.
Because we have an adult problem and parenting. So I found a lot of my work now is children divorces, legal separation, parental alienation, abuse, cruel environments, unfit mothers. And I sit back and I think every day, and you used the word, you hit the nail on the head. We are just traumatizing these children.
Yeah.
And the next generation is going to be a generation of traumatized children unless we, this generation, get it right.
Yeah, and this is why I think I've said this before many times. When people say, okay, when you heal yourself, then you heal the generations that come after you. Mm. That's because you're now healthier.
Yes.
So now you're planting a seed, and the seed is growing. You're doing it different. You're doing it different. And a lot of times, you know, we say, oh, we're going to do it different from our mommies and daddies, but that's just money-wise.
Mm.
No, you have to sow the seed. You have to build value, mm-hmm. build character in your mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. Show your children how to be good decision-makers. We are here as parents to guide and to mentor them. As much, you know, a crack joke about my daughter not coming back for summer, but she coming back. Cause, and by the way, she says she coming back home not because she miss her mommy. She said because she miss her dog. I just tell her to be feeling.
I can lock her bedroom door.
Listen, T-shirt could say parents need love too. But all fun and jokes aside, I grew my daughter up to be independent.
Yes.
And to take chances. That's why she in Montreal, you know, a soul. It's like, who are you going out with, Malia? Oh, I make friends. Malia, you make friends. Mm-hmm. I go on up to them and I say, I looking for friends. I say, don't now see, this downhill. But I grew her up to be independent.
Yes.
To be feminine and strong.
Mm-hmm.
This is our right. So we that's what we have to do. We have to mentor our children, coach our children, counsel our children. Not own them. Not keep them close to us.
My.
Not control them. Guide them.
Yes.
That is the role of the parent. And Brittany has told me I have to come off the air. Because right now that's my parent.
Okay.
I am out of here. I can see y'all next week. It's been real.
Thank you too.